I would ask for your continued prayers. You know, you pull up this morning, and if you're a ex-plumber like me, you know what the two little buildings here at the side of the house mean. It means the Lord bless us with a big rain. That's what it means. It means the ground, which has been dry for, I don't know what, 5 years, 3 to 5 years, is saturated. It's full. It's full. And who's done that? Who's done that? The very one we're here today to worship and adore and hopefully glorify His name. That is who has done that, people. Realize it. Realize it. You know, I mean, I was just sitting there thinking. And y'all know this wasn't going to go without me saying something about it. I have a 3-year-old granddaughter. She didn't know anything but showers until this month. You know, when we, what we'd call rain for the past 5 years, it'll last maybe 5 minutes. That lake down there at Altus, it's full. They opened the floodgate. It's full, and it's still filling up. And our God did that.
That's right.
He is the only one that is capable of filling a lake in the time that that thing filled up, which was in no time. Basically, in no time. Now, I know that some of this rain in some areas has caused some tragic things, and we need to pray for those people that were involved in those tragedies. But we need to give God all the praise and the glory for the rain that we so badly needed. And we don't need to stop there. Because that's what we tend to do as a people that we are. He gives us a huge blessing, and we take it for granted and move on. We don't need to take it for granted. We need to thank Him and thank Him and keep thanking Him and keep praying. Because there's always the need for prayer. So my 3-year-old granddaughter now knows what rain really is. And I remember what rain truly is. Isn't that funny? You kind of forgot, didn't you? You kind of forgot what it was like to sit on the front porch all day long and enjoy a cool rain and marvel when it's coming out of the sky at such a rate that He's got to be up there just pouring it out of a bucket. You know, that's what it looked like, didn't it? I sat on my porch and that's what I was thinking. How can it be raining this much? As soon as it starts raining, it's washing down your driveway or through your backyard or under your house or whatever it does. It's just a miraculous thing that we just saw, that we just partook of, that He blessed us with. And much on my mind has been like Brother Norman said. We just enjoyed this rain that replenishes our land, replenishes our hope, if you will. Don't think for a second that He can't and won't do that very thing for His church and His people. That's what I feel that's an example of. That's what I feel that's an example of what He is able to do in our lives. We may go through those dry times, those hard times, but He can refill us to the top, to overflowing, in the blink of an eye, at His will. I want to look in Romans, Lord willing. You know, and I find that sometimes I want to look somewhere, and we look somewhere, and we start heading somewhere else. So let's pray that as we look in Romans, that the Lord will head us where He wants us to go, where He needs to take us today. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that's not the verse I'm really after, but you can't really start anywhere else but there. Because that's, we all need to hear that, don't we? We all absolutely need to hear what that just said. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. We were given the example of this. One who presented his body as a sacrifice for all of God's chosen people. We were given that example. And that is the example we are to follow ourselves as this living sacrifice, that we would sacrifice the foolish things of this world, if you will, every day of our lives and set those aside and look to our Father. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. I looked up the Greek word for that and I forget what it was, but it had something to do with logic. It only makes sense. That's what it means. Look at what all has been done for us. It only makes sense that we should be more than willing to do this. To do this. Because why? Because He provides every means necessary to do it. You say, oh, I'm not strong enough to do that. Well, no, I'm not. But my God, my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ is the one who strengthens me. And through Him, I can do all things. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Don't shape yourself in the ways of this world. Don't fall into those things that are so easy to fall into in this world. Be not conformed to it. He's directing us away from it. Be not conformed to this world, but here's what you're to do. Here's what you're to do. You're not to be conformed to this world, but there's something else. But be ye transformed. Be ye changed. Be ye made into, not conformed to this world, but made into, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing. The renewing of your mind. That's what all this rain has brought into my thought processes, is the renewing that it brings. The renewing. Like Brother Norman said, it washing away, purging out. You know, you see those pictures of the rivers when they come up. And man, just all the trash and the old dead limbs and complete dead trees. And it washes out, it purges. It clears. It clears the land for some new growth, doesn't it? Washes into the fields. It gives it, well, it floods it for a while and makes it rather inconvenient to do anything. But it also washes in some nutrients and renews the soil, if you will. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want to consider too, at this point. The Apostle Paul. Do you think that might be one that, because of the hand of God that touched him, understands this renewing of the mind that he's talking about here? Had he considered the Apostle Paul and what went on in his life? You know, we heard a few weeks ago a sermon on this, on the Apostle Paul and being the chief sinner. You know, being one bad guy. That's what it meant. It didn't say he was one of the worst. It said he was the chief. He's talking about the renewing of the mind. He has an understanding that the Lord has given him. Why? Because the Lord brought him there. Because he was out doing what in his mind at the time was what he thought was the will of his God. Will of God. He was persecuting those following Christ. He was persecuting, he was capturing them, having them put into prison, and various terrible things done to them. He consented to the death of Stephen as they stoned him after he had so eloquently preached the Word of God and had pricked those to their hearts. He had consented unto his death. In other words, he was okay with it. He thought it was the right thing to occur. And yet, here's this man, not unlike you and I in his ways. I mean, think of ourselves. I think of myself and I'm ashamed of some things. We think we're doing right. We think we're doing right. But here's this man, not unlike ourselves, who was on his way to Damascus to do some more harm. He's searching them out. He's searching the apostles out because he wants to do away with this that in his mind is heresy. He wants it done. He wants a stop put to it. So he's on that road to Damascus and something happens. The Lord happens. The Lord appears in front of him. And the Lord asks him, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? You know, here's this man, he's out searching for things. But at this moment, the Lord touches him. He's one of his chosen, obviously already, right? He has to be in the plan. He's a chosen vessel of God. And Peter asked, Lord, what will you have me to do? And this Peter is changed. Paul is changed. Saul, Paul. Y'all catch me and knock me upside the head when I do that. Wake me up. Paul is changed by the Lord. This man who thought he knew what he was doing, thought he was doing the right thing. But I have to feel, you know, pride, tradition, the ways of the world were getting in the ways of the Lord speaking. And the Lord came with a huge flood on Paul and renewed his mind. Renewed his mind. And now, Paul is sharing that with you and I. He's sharing that because we need to know. We need to understand. We need to be told In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, we'll start in the 17th. It says, "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Is it possible that we do that? "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So you mean when we're walking around conformed to this world, we're not seeing what God's putting right in front of us? Is that not what we're being told, what we're being taught? Having the understanding. We're having the understanding that He has given us darkened. Are we not? That's what it says here. We have the understanding, but when we're not looking to Him, we can't see that understanding clearly, can we? We can't know it. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Things we don't like to hear, but truths. But ye have not so learned Christ. That ye put, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." So who are we to listen to for our truth and for what we need to be transformed to? Jesus. If there's any doubt in our minds where our focus needs to be, this book is pointing to that one spot throughout the book, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." He's still teaching us this renewing. In the spirit of your mind. "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That is that transformation, is it not? That we were just reading about over in Romans there. That is the transformation. That once God has revealed Himself unto His chosen people, we are to put on that new man in Christ Jesus. Be transformed into what He would want us to be. It goes on to give us much instructions. It says, "Let no corrupt communication," in the 29th, "proceed out of your mouth." Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I don't know how successful I am at that every day. I'm afraid not very sometimes. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." That's a big difference, isn't it? Stop and think of our day and what comes out of our mouth. How much of it went to edifying and how much of it did not? That's a hard picture to look at, isn't it? He doesn't take any shortcuts. He doesn't leave anything out. You know, today we're much too afraid of hurting someone's feelings. We need our feelings hurt sometimes. We need to be taken up and shaken a little bit, rattled, awakened, transformed. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Why? So we all feel better. So we all look better to one another. No, I think that might happen. We probably would feel better. But it says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If we're edifying one another, those around us, it's ministering grace. The grace of God to the hearers. The love of the Father in heaven. The love that we need more of in this world we have here today. The love that's greater than any other love. The love that can only come from the Father, that true love. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, simple instruction. Hard to do, but simple instruction. We'd be much happier people if we transform ourselves in the way that it's talking about here. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Did you catch that? For Christ's sake. Now, much of the world today, would want us, have us look at this in a way that we're saved, we are forgiven because of the things we do, the works, if you will, we do. Because we woke up one morning and knew we had to ask the Lord to forgive us. So in other words, we, through our own ways, obtain this forgiveness from the Lord. Well, that's the way of the world. And that's what we are not to be conformed to. We are to be transformed, and only God can do that transformation. He is the transformer. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The only way we would ever be forgiven is by that perfect sacrifice. That perfect sacrifice of that unblemished one on the cross, performing the will of His Father. He looked down. He didn't see us. He saw His Son. He saw His Son freely giving His life for the chosen of His Father, fulfilling the will of His Father. The blood sacrifice that we're given so many examples of, that He is the only one capable of doing. So for Christ's sake have we been forgiven. For Christ's sake and no other. And we need not forget that. We need to remember that every day in the renewing of our minds, if you will. It says in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, says, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. I mean, folks, sometimes it has to hit us, you know, right over the head, doesn't it? But it's such a simple gospel. But it's only simple when He's doing the revealing of the understanding, is it not? We can read it time and time again, and oh, I want to understand this. I want to see the deep meaning. And many times there is very deep meaning. Very deep meaning. But sometimes it's just right there in front of your face. It's just right there hitting you over the head. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Because of Christ Jesus, these things happen to us, to God's chosen people. And we need to give Him thanks every day that we can wake up once again and be renewed and understand His grace and His mercy and what He's doing for us. That as we rise in the morning, those rivers of His grace, His mercy, His love can wash over us and purge us of all the ways of this world and enrich us with His love, His nutrients, that we are renewed in His Spirit to make it through another day and another day and another day, and renew us and perfect us in His righteousness for His coming. Isn't that what He's doing? Isn't that what we're instructed? He's preparing His bride. And He's going to come. He's going to come again. He's going to come again. And He's going to take us home. I have a sister who has cancer. And it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. It's stage 4 cancer. And I do find myself oftentimes asking why. But I know, just as He's capable of washing away my sins, my sorrows, my worries every day, He's doing the same for her right now through this cancer. I don't know what His will is in that situation until it's done. And I won't know. And I can't presume to know. But I do know that He holds her in His hands. And as long as that's going on, that's the best place she can be. The absolute best place that she can be. And it's through this renewing daily of His Spirit that we're able to understand such things and know such things and see such things. We may go through 5 years without rain, but He can bring that rain overnight. Bring that rain in an hour. We saw it in the Old Testament. Elijah. I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand, wasn't it? And the rains came. And the rains came. And the rains came. We can see that. We can see that. Paul! One, if you look in history, before we know him as Paul, when he was Saul, did bad things. But the rains came. The rains came and washed him. Washed him clean and renewed his spirit. Renewed his mind. Gave him the mind of Christ. I can't even imagine. I mean, could you imagine walking along a road with the intent that was in his heart, and then the very one whom you're persecuting, people, is right there, his holy light shining on you. Can you imagine? I don't know what I'd do. I wouldn't do anything. I'd do like Paul did. I'd be transformed by the Almighty God.
So I go back to Romans, the 12th chapter. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
That's what?
That's one of these simple things that we are to do. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, this transformation. But we got to go back to one spot. It says in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles, it says, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place of myself for a house of sacrifice. Solomon's built a temple, presented it to the Lord. It says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So, we're being told some things are going could happen. Some things are going to happen in our lifetime. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, if my people, understand what's being said here. If my people, if the Lord's people, which are called by my name, they're His. Why? Because He's called them by their name. Shall humble themselves and pray. More of the simple instruction that He gives us. Humble ourselves and pray. And seek my face. Not my face. Not your face. But God's face. Seek His face. Not this world. Not being conformed to the things that are around us. Not listening to those who are saying these lakes are never going to be full again. They're never going to be full again. We're not to conform to that. It says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Again, we're not to conform to the wicked ways of this world, but we're to be transformed to the mind of Jesus Christ, walk in His Spirit, by His faith, through His faith, strengthened in Him to do the things that He has set out for us to do. Turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I know it's the Old Testament, but we still to seek His face, to pray, to turn from our wicked ways. And He, the Lord God in heaven, can heal our land. He, the Lord God in heaven, if it's His will, can renew the spirit in His people, in His churches. So just as the rivers filled up to overflowing, the churches can be filled to overflowing once again too. Don't think for a minute that they can't. Don't think for a minute that they can't. Our God is more than capable. And we need to seek His face and believe in what He's told us in His Word. I thank you for your patience this morning. I ask that you give God the glory that is due to Him and only to Him, and pray for this brother that's to come before us.